I discovered computer sciences at the French high school. Yeah, I didn't have access to the internet until 2001, I think.
That is Ludovic Morellin, a software engineer here at Salesforce. I'm Josh Burke, your host of the Salesforce Developer Podcast. And here on the podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Today, we're going to sit down and talk with Ludovic about a project he's been working with a few others about mocking Apex. However, we're going to keep on there, whereas we often do with his early years.
It was about gaming, actually.
Of course.
Yeah. Only gaming. I used to play on every console you can find in the past. Yeah. And I moved to personal computers with friends at the age of maybe 15. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. PC Master Race. What was one of your first games that you played?
Well, it was Age of Empires, you know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There we go. See, this I'm dating myself because I'm thinking like it was like the 2D version of Castle Wolfenstein or something like that. When did you first get introduced to Salesforce?
I was not aware of Salesforce until I tried to join the company, actually.
Okay.
It was the year before the COVID, so 2019, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was aware about the brand.
Uh-huh.
I did know a few things about the company, but I didn't know anything about products or APIs or components, anything you can do on top of the platform.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What was it like joining the company under COVID?
Oh, it was new for everyone. Yeah, it was a bit weird, but at the end, I missed a lot the formal onboarding you can have before that particular season.
Yeah,
but it was okay for me. I was close to colleagues even in France.
Okay,
so as soon as I can go there and see them. No.
Got it. Nice. Yeah. Nice. How would you describe your current job?
I'm a developer. It's pretty simple. I'm a developer and I'm a team developer, which means that I can work alone, but I'm better at working with a team, inside the team.
And okay.
Yeah.
When did you discover that?
As soon as I start to work for a company in 2008, I think. I'm pretty sure that it was the only way for me to be efficient, to learn from others and to help other people with my own skills.
Gotcha. Okay.
And and as soon as you do something in computers, in the IT services, you need the feedback from other people. So you cannot stay alone for a long time.
Nice. I like that. Well, sort of speaking about that, so today we're talking about Apex Mockery, which is a project that you have been collaborating with. Who's all on the team right now?
Sébastien Colladon. Sébastien Colladon.
Yeah. Gotcha. And my friend Philippe.
And your friend Philippe, yeah. Philippe Brazil. Yeah.
Gotcha. Now, how would you describe the origin of Apex Mockery? Were you trying to solve a specific problem, or was there a specific pain point that kind of came up?
Oh, as I said, I wasn't aware of the Salesforce, how to say that, not community, but the Salesforce world of developers, you know, Apex, any triggers, packages, and so on. And as soon as I started to work for Salesforce, I joined the work.com initiative that we had at this time during COVID.
Yeah.
And during that effort to deliver some value on top of the platform inside Salesforce, I had to understand how to do that as an external developer. Okay.
Gotcha.
And we were almost six developers in my team at this time. And we had to deliver a lot of Apex code quickly.
Okay.
But the fact that we came from other contexts, like a Java backend code, like a web development, any native iOS or Android apps, we had some, I don't know how to say that, but we were used to use some tools and libraries that helped us to implement tests, to decouple code in a way or another. And we missed that very quickly in Apex. So we first did some digging on the internet within the community to see what we can use. We first tried to use FFlib. at some point.
Yeah.
And we choose very, very quickly to switch to our own implementation to keep things very tiny and deliver something on top of very small classes we can implement. Okay.
Just as a curiosity, was it kind of a, was FFlib, because FFlib is sort of the grandfather of Apex libraries, right? But it's also, it's pretty huge. So was it that it was just kind of too big and too unwieldy, or just really not getting the job done for you?
Yeah, it, we could have used it, okay. I think.
Yeah.
But the fact that is it comes with a lot of overhead made the choice for us. And we just put in place a very tiny solution we had to use within the team. And as soon as Sébastien joined the team, he was previously in teams that were supporting customers and deploying solution at a large scale with Apex and so on. And he spotted that we did a very great job from his point of view. And we decided to move on open sourcing it very lately, but it's now done.
Got it. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Give me kind of the elevator pitch for Apex Mockery. If you describe it for me in a high level.
Yeah. To stay general, the only purpose of this library is to help you implement fast unit tests in your Apex code, which means that you will need to decouple your actual code or any new code from the database and the platform itself.
Okay.
And using the lib, you can do that easily, or at least easier than by hand.
Nice. Yeah. I think that's a really interesting way to put it, because I think people, once you get into writing proper unit tests, and we'll get a few questions on that, but like when it's pretty obvious why you want to detach that from the database, because you want your unit test to be ephemeral, right? Like you don't want your testing to impact your actual real world data. Tell me a little bit about the importance of detaching it from the platform.
Yeah, the first important fact is that if you embed all the platform within all your tests, all your suite will become slower, and you will have hard times to get feedbacks from your tests, which means that you won't run them, or you will skip them, or you will ignore any failing test during weeks.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Which is not the way we wanted to work when we joined the Apex effort within Salesforce.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nice. So nice. I like that because it puts kind of a human element on it. It's like, it's not that your unit tests won't run, it's just that you won't run them.
Yeah. And some of us were also aware of TDD, test-driven development, and we are used to it for part of us. And it's also a way to work on a daily basis. So if you don't use that, if you are used to it and you cannot do it, it's like you are frustrated all day long. so we had to find a solution at least to do that a few hours a day.
Right. Be sure right. To do it, yeah. Okay. So first of all, this answers one of my upcoming questions. So you're firmly on the side of write tests first, code second, right?
Yeah, I prefer to say that I need something that can do the job first. You know, even if it's not tested, I will need test to be able to build it and repeat the operation all the way. But as soon as you build stuff every day, every week, and with years of experience, you tend to write tests first because it's like a natural way to do things.
Right, right. How would you describe the characteristics of a good unit test?
It should be self-describing, readable. In a way or another. So if you cannot explain that to a colleague or another developer that will need to modify it, it's a bad one. It's also true for any other kind of test, by the way. It should be fast to run, easy, but fast to run. And it should be, if you can, it should test only one purpose or within your system. This is the unit part of the test. You test a unit.
Gotcha. Now, tell me a little bit. I was reading the blog post that you and I think it was you and Philippe, or you and Sebastian put together. And you mentioned the arrange, act, and assert pattern. What is that, and how does that fit into Unit?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if it's linked or not to Gherkin syntax, if you know it. The given okay. when then way to describe any specification or runnable specification, at least. But in the team, at the first time in the team, we agreed all together to use that pattern to describe our test. It's also true for unit integration test or orchestration test, any test. Because if you do that, what you will get for free is that you will have a kind of convention around all your tests, a way to read them quickly, find the arrange step to find what your test will set up to be able to run. Okay. The act part is the tinier one, which is only doing the job you want to test. So this is the unit action you want to cover. And the assert part is about doing assertions like, is my output okay?
Right. I'm trying to remember the analogy, but there's some good ones out there when it comes to writing unit tests without assertions. Is basically like not writing unit tests.
Yeah. It's only writing scripts in that case.
Exactly. All right. Well, let's say a little bit more about the library itself. First of all, it leverages the Stub API, which I'm going to admit I'm not very familiar with. What is the Apex Stub API?
Yeah. So the Stub API is basically what the platform offers you to stub any method in an Apex class. Okay. Which means that you can hook any call to a method and choose what to answer or what to do instead of explicitly run it. Okay. This is a way to plug a behavior in place of a method. You can also, I'm pretty sure that you can also delegate. So let's say you have a hook, you do something and you still run the method at the end. You can do that also. But what we did in the library is that we used the Stub API capabilities to replace part of your code with the library itself to be sure that when you run a unit test, you are not involving any other class code, any other class behavior.
God.
You'll have to choose to replace them.
Got it. So this goes back to like the concept of detaching it from the platform and keeping it speed fast and efficient.
Yeah. And
got it.
And it will force you, the way we implement it, it will force you to define a contract between your elements, your Apex classes, and say, okay, my Apex class A is depending on B, and B has a method Go. So I need to stub that Go method within the A test suite. Okay. Just to be sure you are not involving all the code that in one test.
Well, and to kind of add on to that, you also write about like the difference between where do you say, like, what's the distinction between testing, unit testing, and say integration testing, and where do those two things fit into a developer's toolkit?
Yeah, the difference, in my own explanation of that, maybe influenced by a lot of other explanation. is that unit test is there to test a very specific part of your code, isolated one. Okay, something that can be moved with the code itself. Okay, you move the code, you move the test. Integration tests are more there to validate that when you integrated different classes all together, it behave correctly. Okay.
Okay.
And it's like what you are actually doing if you do a default Apex test in the documentation, I think. It's already involving the SQL queries on top of some Apex code. So it's like an integration directly.
Got it. Let's talk specifics about the library. How, and I know this is a podcast, so unfortunately we can't hop over to the terminal, but what does Apex Mockery do to help developers get this done?
So the only purpose of the library is to offer you a way to replace method within your code, using a specific static class. I don't remember the name of the class, to be honest.
That's fine. We'll point to the blog post. People can read it.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as you did that within your test, you are able to change the behavior of the method itself, which is considered as a dependency during the test. And you will also get for free some assertions that you will be able to do on top of the method itself. Let's say you want to validate that you... I can take an example. You have an Apex class, okay, that is trying to load data from the database.
Yeah.
To do that, you have another Apex class that is loading something, okay? Within the test, you can stub the entire database class, okay? And act as if you are loading something from the database, but you are only doing that within the test, which is faster, very, very, very faster. And you can also do assertion like during my test, I called my method once. I called my method with a specific argument and so on. And this is where you have a value within the lib. It's like a syntax sugar to do all that stuff that should involve a lot of overhead if you do that by hand.
Gotcha. Yeah. How would you describe, I'm assuming you're using this in your day-to-day, like how would you describe some of the advantages? Are you writing less code? Is it simply faster to write the unit test? Or are you just writing faster unit tests or all of the above?
I cannot say if it's faster, if unit tests are faster with the lib. Okay. To me, it's not the target of the library itself. What you have, by the way, is a way to very quickly write something and a flexible way also to assert stuff, which means that you can also provide custom matchers on top of your own big data model, for example. So if you want to match a very particular field within an object that were sent as an argument to your method, you can do that also. This is where the library is very useful to me.
Gotcha.
And this is what at the beginning we implemented within the team in a generic way, you know. So this was our goal at the beginning, and now this is what you have with the lib.
And this is all open source now?
Yeah, since 2 months, I think.
Okay. How do you see it evolving? Or is this kind of a put a pin on it and maintain it? Or are there new features that you're thinking about?
We are not planning to add new big features or breaking changes, you know. So the goal for us was to share that with the community. Our goal today is to go over all Apex developers, at least within Salesforce, to talk about the lib. And we will support the new Apex version and new features that could be useful within the library, but we won't add a lot of new features. It's finalized since we released it. And we do think that it's enough to not be too big. One of our goals is to keep it tiny also.
Okay.
So if we need to add a new feature, maybe we will deliver another library to say, okay, you can cherry pick what you want.
Right.
Depending of on your needs. Yeah.
Got it. What kind of installation options are there?
I don't remember all the installation methods you can have, but you have an unlock package available.
Okay.
A version 1. You can also copy past all the Apex classes within your project very easily, which is a way to take a library in Apex. And I think it's over. Yeah. We have a package delivered within the GitHub space. You can see it.
Okay. Is that the easiest place for people to learn more? We'll put the blog post in the show notes, but is this like the GitHub repo kind of the source of learning more about it, downloading it, installing it, et cetera?
Exactly. Yeah. You can follow the blog post, even if it's not going into the EV details. And if you want to know more, you definitely should go within the GitHub repository, in which you will find documentation and some samples also. We used a lot of samples just to cover what we were doing. And now you can just check them to see if it's easy to read, what you need, etc.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, I did ask after Ludovic's favorite non-technical hobby, and it turns out, well, he's a little bit of an artist.
Oh, it's I do drawing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I also do photographies, photo, okay?
Uh-huh.
Nice. And I play a lot to video games. So,
what are you playing these days?
I'm currently trying to play Starfield, which is not
okay. Like every other person who
exactly.
doesn't. I want to thank Ludovic for the great conversation and information. As always, I want to thank you for listening. Now, this is actually the last episode I'm going to be personally responsible for producing for the Salesforce Developer Podcast. I've moved over to admin relations and a few new challenges, and I'm handing the reins over to the wonderful Julian Duque, who I know is going to do a great job with the show, and you're going to have a wonderful time listening to him. I want to thank everybody who has supported the show, who has listened to the show, has been a guest on the show. It has been an absolute pleasure doing the show, and I'm very proud of it. If I'm being completely honest, it's one of the things that got me through the pandemic, and it's just been a source of joy. So once again, everybody, thank you for listening. If you want to learn more about this show, head on over to developer.salesforce.com/podcast, where you can hear old episodes, see the show notes, and links to your favorite podcast service. And as of now, Julian's going to start talking to you next week. But everybody, thanks again, and have a great day.